Coming up on today's show.
One of my first role models, other than my mother, was the priest in my parish, Father Tom Manya. He was very important to us growing up, to the kids in my neighborhood.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. I should also mention that 2 weeks ago, I uploaded a new video to the official YouTube channel where I talk about how I managed to get all these guests week after week, month after month, year after year for this show. The fact is, at the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Again, head to CatholicSportsRadio.net and look for those logos, those links, for whichever platform, or platforms plural, you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That's the Facebook group, which is free to join and which you can also find a link for on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email. In the case of the latter, you can write to me via bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Coaches, as we have heard on this very show so many times, have an amazing opportunity to be teachers, mentors, sometimes almost a father figure for their athletes. As nice as that sounds, there's also a lot of pressure that comes with that. Young athletes especially will hang on their coaches' every word. The advice given needs to be genuine, educated, and sound. It's not for the faint of heart. This scenario is not exclusive to sports, though. In the workplace, heck, as a parent, a similar scene can be created with regularity, and it's no time to just wing it or throw out some advice that's not well thought out. People in an array of industries, a long list of vocations, read leadership books, kind of like someone teaching the teacher. As Christians, there is one book, heck, one source, we should always turn to. In the New American Bible, I'm looking in the New Testament at James chapter 1, where in verse 5 it says, quote, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it," end quote. Friends, with great responsibility comes great opportunity. As you look upon your athletes, your employees, your children, draw upon our Father in heaven and arm yourself with God's word, and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame as both a player and a coach. He played in the NBA for four teams over 15 years and was a 9-time All-Star and would later be named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. Before ending his playing career, he took on the role of player coach with two different teams. As a full-time coach, he guided the Seattle Supersonics, winning a championship in 1978-79, and then the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks, the Toronto Raptors, and the New York Knicks. In the midst of all that, he also coached the U.S. men's basketball team to a gold medal at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. He also served for 9 years as vice president of the National Basketball Players Association, served as president of the NBA Coaches Association, held a number of jobs in the Supersonics front office, and served as a game analyst on basketball television broadcasts. He also wrote an autobiography called Unguarded, My 40 Years Surviving the NBA. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Lenny Wilkins.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
My gosh, wow, what an honor, Lenny. Thank you so much. A true NBA legend. I'm really grateful for you being on the show today. You still live in the Seattle area, which means you're a long, long way from where you were born and raised. Tell the audience where you were born, as well as how many of you there were, meaning brothers and sisters.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, in the Bed-Stuy section, Bedford-Stuyvesant. And when I went to college, I went to Providence College, and we always thought New England was the most beautiful area that we had seen. Mm. But then when we played for the Seattle Supersonics, I got traded out here. We fell in love with the Northwest and decided that this would be our home. So my wife and I, our kids grew up here. We have two daughters that still live in the area, and they have family. My son lives just outside of Atlanta, Smyrna, Georgia, and which is a suburb of Atlanta. And he works for the Boys and Girls Club, and their headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Ah, I see.
So that's why he's there. And but he still makes his way out here to see us. And when we were flying, we tried to get back there as well. But my wife doesn't like to fly very much anymore. So.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah. It's a little tougher, you know, getting through security and everything. For me, it was a way of life. So yeah. Every now and then I still fly somewhere.
I'm assuming you're a cradle Catholic. In fact, you told me the other day about being an altar boy when you were a kid. But tell the audience about what the Mass was back then.
Well, back then, the Mass was in Latin, and we were always challenged to learn Latin. And so in my neighborhood, my mother was a daily communicate. That's someone who went to church every day. Mm. And she was always praying for us to keep us out of trouble, I'm sure, the kids. But no, I learned it, and it was fun being an altar boy. I used to, you know, serve all the different masses from time to time. Mm. But, you know, growing up, we were a very Catholic family. And so we never miss going to church. I mean, you had to be dying not to be able to go because my mother wasn't having it, you know. But, you know, it's... it was a way of life for us.
Yeah, there must have been a firm Catholic foundation in your family because you even attended a Catholic elementary school. What was that school called? And then what did you do for religious education in your high school years since you did not attend a Catholic high school?
Well, the elementary school I went to was called Holy Rosary, and it was taught by Sisters of Mercy.
Oh.
And I used to say that they didn't show any mercy, but they were great teachers, you know. And after I had two sisters, when they graduated, they were going to a Catholic school because my mother felt they should. And being a boy, my brother and I, we went to public high school. Mm. So at that time, they used to call, I forget what it was now, I'm trying to remember, but they had fraternity. And we would go and they would have an hour of Catholic lessons. And then the rest was roller skating.
Huh.
I mean, you know, and they offered that to the young people of the parish, and it was free. So it was fun.
As a kid, was basketball your first and only sport, or did you play others? And for that matter, who or what turned you on to basketball?
Well, my first sport, listen, I was a street kid, and I grew up playing stickball, handball, punchball, boxball,
wow,
stoop ball, you name it. That's what we did. And I was a big Dodger fan. And my best friend was a young man by the name of Tommy Davis, who was a great high school athlete. And he played baseball, in fact, was drafted by the Dodgers. And when he came up from the minor leagues to the pros, he won the batting crown 2 years in a row.
Mm.
He was that good a hitter. And tried a new slide into second base, broke his ankle in three places. So the designated hitter came in at the right time for him, and he still wound up batting in the 300s. Mm. But he played basketball as well, and he wanted me to come out for the school team. I went out for the boys' high basketball team, and I made the team, but I didn't play much early when I was a freshman, sophomore, because they had like 15 guys on the team. I was number 15. Mm. So I dropped off because I had to have a little job to help the family out. And I started going to the playgrounds and playing more and more basketball, and eventually went back out for the high school team my senior year and made the starting team. But I had role models who would encourage me that, you know, it's up to you, and to become as good as you can be in whatever it was. And one of those was a guy named Jackie Robinson, who lived in our neighborhood and broke the color line for baseball. So I used to see him at Ebbets Field, and I was always impressed with him. And because he was a fierce player, he came to play no matter what the circumstances. And he said, and I remember him saying, that nobody could get inside his head. So I think that helped him to be as good as he was. And then I met a guy who lived in my neighborhood by the name of Vinny Cohen, who went to Syracuse University. And he was All-American. And I was able to compete against him on the playgrounds. And so it kind of piqued my interest in basketball, and I started to play more and more. I played CYO, you know, I played in the PAL, the Police Athletic League, and yeah, so those were, I started to get better and better and better.
I see.
And this priest friend of mine from our parish wrote to a friend of his at Providence College to have their coach take a look at me, because we couldn't afford to go to a school like Providence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he invited me to come try out for the team, which I did. Back then, you could do that.
Mm.
So I went out. I was in a summer league. And his dad saw me. Joe Mullaney was the coach of Providence College. And his dad saw me play in the summer league. I had just graduated from high school and I played in the summer league. And he said, this can't be the same kid that wants to go to Providence. So next thing I know, I got a scholarship. So wow. I was very fortunate.
Yeah, you were blessed to attend Providence College, which, folks, that is a Catholic college. And Lenny, those years had to be crucial for you, both in keeping your faith strong, since it was a Catholic school, but also in establishing yourself as a bona fide NBA player in the making. Talk about those years and the emphasis on both faith and basketball while you were at Providence College.
Well, we at that time, we had very few lay teachers. We had a lot of Dominican fathers teaching at Providence. But they were great teachers. And I became friendly with a lot of them because they were fans. And they were always encouraging, you know, always you know, letting me know that, you know, hey, put your mind to it, you know, and because you're capable. And so, you know, it kind of reinforced my faith. But my mother did that mostly because she was a strong Catholic. And my dad died when I was 5 years old.
Mm.
And I remember at the funeral, this nun was holding me, and she says, well, you're the man of the family now, you know, and I kind of looked at her. I couldn't believe what she was saying, but we were young then. But Providence certainly was a great school, great educators, and a lot of the Dominican fathers who taught there became friends. I stayed friendly with a lot of them, even when I graduated and went on to play pro ball.
Wow. Wow. Folks, I have to say, wow, as you could tell by my reaction when I first brought him on, I'm truly blessed to have the legendary Lenny Wilkins on the show in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame as a player and a coach. Truly, my ministry has found favor with the Lord. that he has brought such a guest to Catholic Sports Radio. If you watch that video on YouTube that I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, I say on there that it's the Lord who brings these guests to the show each week. My ministry has also been blessed by guests and listeners alike who have chosen to support the work that I've been doing every week without missing once in more than 4 years now, aiming to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. This is just me doing this with no staff or interns or volunteers, and I don't get any income for doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which makes it challenging with the various costs that come with operating the Catholic Sports Radio ministry both on and off the air. I have to somehow try to find a way out of my own pocket to tackle those expenses, many of which I have given you exact examples of over numerous episodes of this show. If that's you, if you're finding value in what I do each week, if Catholic Sports Radio is helping you in your faith life and you enjoy it and want to help support my work, I ask you to prayerfully consider making a gift to this ministry. On the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button, which is not only fast and easy, just as importantly, it is secure. It also allows you to type in whatever amount you're most comfortable with. Plus, you can even put a note on there for me to see. That being said, though, I recognize that some people are not comfortable putting credit card information on the internet. And so for those folks, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As I did as recently as last week's episode, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or through the mail, or as some have asked me to do, you can request to remain anonymous. Regardless, I'm most sincere, really, when I say that it would mean so, so much to me if, as part of your continued tithing, you would consider helping me tackle the various costs that I face. I cannot say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Lenny, you spent so many years in the NBA. As a player, as a coach, did you live your Catholic faith outwardly, or was it a case of, no, Bruce, in the NBA, it's business, you keep religion to yourself? Or did it maybe evolve over all the time you spent in the league and as times changed?
Well, if you know me, then you know who I am and what I do. And there were a couple of guys on the team who were Catholic. We went to church together. I didn't hide it at all. It's who I am. So to me, I think I was taught that we need to encourage young people. They're tomorrow's doctors, lawyers, architects, athletes. They're the future. And so I'm going to try and encourage young people, okay, that they can make a difference. And so they need to be involved with people. I encourage them to get yourself established, so that then you're able to go out and talk to other people and encourage them. So, it's a part of my life. It's not something I would ever hide. It's too important. And I've been very blessed over the years. And so, I'm proud of the time that I served as an altar boy, that I was able to learn the Latin, I went to Providence College. So those were all great memories and mean quite a bit.
Beautiful, beautiful. 3 weeks ago on episode 223, my guest was Bill Hanslick, who played 10 years in the NBA. He told me that the two of you used to attend Mass together, which is a story that we don't hear enough of. Everyone wants to report scores or talk about wins and losses or statistics. But as you're saying, Lenny, how nice it is to hear a story like that so that it can trickle down to people that need to be inspired.
Yeah, well, Bill is a wonderful guy, and he was fun. I was able to play with him. I was able to coach him. Mm. And, uh, You know, and one of the things that one of my first role models, other than my mother, was the priest in my parish, Father Tom Manya, who she used to, my mother would talk to Father Manya if she didn't like who I was hanging out with. and he would always come. We called him Iron Hands because when he got a hold of you by the shoulder, you couldn't get away. But he was always encouraging young people in the parish. And no matter what it was that we were doing, he was there. And if I got a little frustrated, he'd say to me, well, you know, who promised you? Did someone promise you life would be easy? And at first I used to kind of look at him crazy like, but then I began to understand what he was saying. So he was very important to us growing up, to the kids in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. Help me out with this. You are currently, or you were, involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters, which, by the way, doesn't surprise me either way, because clearly you have a servant's heart.
Well, I was involved with Big Brothers. I've been involved with a lot of things. Right now, what I do when I make appearances, I have a little foundation, and we used to have a big dinner auction golf tournament, and we'd raise funds for the Odessa Brown Children's Clinic. And it was a clinic that provided health care and education to families, irregardless of their ability to pay. I mean, if they couldn't pay, they still get the service. And I remember as a young kid, we used to go to St. Mary's Clinic in Brooklyn. And I used to remember people would look at us like, uh-oh, here comes the Wilkins again. Well, we couldn't afford the health care. So the clinic, the Odessa Brown Children's Clinic, was started by a single mom who got a friend of hers who was a pediatrician to help give services to young families that couldn't afford it. And when I saw the clinic and how they treated young people, I thought, wow, this is going to be my charity. So it's been my charity over the years. The clinic still exists. They have a big clinic. They provide health care, education. They do research. There are all ethnic backgrounds are welcome there, and they go there to get the service. So I'm pleased by that. I'm happy by it because what I see how they treat young people. And like I said, the Native American kids go there, black kids, white kids, you name it. All the families are welcome. And the service is free.
Very nice. Very nice. And I will put a link on the show page for Lenny's episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the website for the Lenny Wilkins Foundation so that you can read more about that. And by the way, folks, I said that Lenny has a servant's heart. That was seen in his unselfish play on the court, racking up over 7,200 assists in his playing career, good for 16th on the all-time NBA assist leaders list. Lenny, while I'm mentioning on-court activity, let's be a little bit like a traditional sports talk show for a moment. I wonder what you think about the new Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle and the efforts to bring the NBA Supersonics back to the Emerald City.
Well, it's going to happen. One of the guys who helped develop the Climate Pledge and remodeling and everything is a guy named Todd Lewicki. And he has been wonderful. He understands what it takes to give back to the community. And we do believe that in the near future that we're going to get a team back in Seattle. We have great fans here, people who would love to see that happen. And so, and I've been to Climate Pledge. I've been to a couple of hockey games. And it's a great arena. They've done a wonderful job. And so it won't surprise me.
We're in the home stretch here. I think that the answer to this next question is going to be no. But NBA championship with Seattle in 1978-79, two Hall of Fame inductions, taking the Olympic team to the gold medal. Is it possible for you to point to the top highlight of your career?
Well, I've been very blessed, and I have a lot of highlights in my career. You know, certainly winning the NBA championship in 1978-79 was a highlight. But being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and by the way, I'm the only one in the Hall of Fame three times. I went in as a player, as a coach, and then also I was a part of the 92 Dream Team, and that whole team was inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame. So I, you know, and then I've been on trips. I've had chances to meet people, you know, and I've met wonderful people all over the world. So those are all highlights. And, you know, to I've been blessed with three great kids. This has all been fun. It's been a great life, and I'm very fortunate to be a part of it.
And on that note, let's close by having you share. You have mentioned your children a couple times, but let's have you share about your wife and the years that the two of you have spent in the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Well, I've been very lucky. She's a strong lady, and I wouldn't have achieved any of this without her. But she is, we've been married about 64 years, you know, 65. It will be 65. July 28th. And, you know, we have a great family. She's all about family. There's nothing she wouldn't do. I always tell everyone in the next life, when I come back as one of my grandkids, because she loves them. And, you know, she's a good lady, and she's, our friends, are very comfortable around her. And, she's just, an outstanding woman.
And how many grandchildren do you have?
We have six grandkids, five girls, one boy. And my son has the boy.
Lenny, thank you so much. This has been absolutely wonderful. I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having us on. And God bless you as well.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And folks, for this week's closing prayer, I know that Lenny was both a player and a coach, but I thought that because we haven't done one in a little bit, we would close this week's episode with a prayer for coaches. So let's do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
From 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Thank you, God, for the love and compassion you show me when I fall short of your expectations. Help me to inspire those I interact with to be what you know they could be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.